welcome to this electrifying edition of Quest Point in the Mix. And I say electrifying because today our guest is Jenny Medeiros. And Jenny is a truly living, breathing illustration of what's happening in advanced technology vehicles. In other words, electric vehicles. Jenny is a consultant with Zapp and drives a plug-in electric vehicle, the Zapp Zebra, to work every day. And that's a 100% electric vehicle. Zapp stands for Zero Air Pollution. A new car, the Alias, was introduced by the company by a respected team of European and U.S. automotive engineers back in January of 2009. And that's also a 100% electric vehicle. The recharging is simple, effortless, and you can do that by plugging it into any 110 voltage outlet at home or on the road. Now, for everyone's information, Zapp is a leading distributor of affordable, efficient, 100% electric vehicles in the United States and does have an established network of licensed automotive dealers throughout the United States. There are also plans for European distribution underway as well. And as I mentioned, in 2009, Zapp unveiled a high-performance electric roadster called the Alias, which is planned for deliveries in 2010. Zapp has been in business, though, since the 90s, I believe, 1994. In 2006, they launched the Zebra. The company's first automotive product was a four-passenger sedan version and a two-passenger utility pickup truck and an ATV. An ATV stands for Advanced Technology Vehicle called the Dude. And they're always popular, the Zappy 3 scooter line. Well, you know, it's interesting because as we've come to understand the rather dark history that this country has concerning electric vehicles, it is truly terrific that Zapp has been able to bring these cars to market. So living in Santa Rosa, also the home of Zapp headquarters, I am truly electrified to speak to Jenny Medeiros. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here and to spread the word that 100% electric vehicles are here now and available for everyone.
Well, listen, there's so much that we could be talking about. So would you please be kind enough to give us a brief history of Zapp?
Well, one thing a lot of people do not know, and that is that Zapp has sold more electric transportation than any other electric manufacturer in history, and we are actually international. We have a dealer base from California to New York, but we also supply automobiles for other countries, as well as supplied electric vehicles for armies in other countries.
Give me an example of that.
South Korea Army.
Oh, okay.
The state capital uses them, parks and rec, parking meter attendants. This is huge news for us, is that we were just approved, and again, we're a public company. This information is available online. We just got our GSA approval, which means that government fleets may purchase Zapp vehicles. There's a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of qualifying to get approved, so that is a big deal for us.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, listen, how did you come to be involved with the company, and what is your role there at this time?
I have been in the auto industry since I was 19 years old, and actually that's how I met the existing CEO here, Steve Schneider.
Okay.
We were very young teenagers when we got in the auto industry, and I want to say that we've had open minds and have been willing to change with the times for the auto industry, as well as having a vision for wanting a better environment for our children. And my role here is part dealer development, because I have an extensive background in that, and also in marketing the company in any way that may be, including what I am doing with you today.
Okay. When we spoke the other day, you said that Zapp is truly 100% electric. and affordable. What did you mean by that?
Well, this is another thing that sets us apart from the other electric car companies. Besides the fact that we're the only public electric car manufacturer and that we've sold more vehicles in transportation than any other electric car manufacturer, our vision is to actually have a vehicle that the everyday person can afford.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicle that I'm driving can be purchased for under $10,000. And even our new sports vehicle, the Alias, which is in competition right now at the Detroit Auto Show for the XPRIZE, is under $40,000. You know, this, and when I say that, that does seem like a lot of money. That's our sports car, but the other sports cars that are 100% electric that are on the market are in excess of $100,000.
Right.
But your everyday person like myself, I drive a Zebra pickup truck. You can purchase one of those for under $10,000, and we have a four-door sedan that's in that same price range.
Yeah, I mean, that sports vehicle that you have, which is really, I mean, it looks like it's something straight out of the future, and it looks like a car I've seen in some movies before. Am I incorrect in that?
I don't think that you've seen the Alias. There might have been something that looks kind of similar.
Okay.
We've been working on the way that the automobile was going to look for a while before we got it to a place where we actually are producing them.
Oh, I see. So the car is affordable. I mean, I think that's the message that you're...
Yes, it is affordable, and I think, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that's why we haven't had the backing that some of the more expensive automobiles have had. My observation and my experience with working with Zap and talking to the different states and setting up the dealer base and talking to the different people is there's a resistance. If a company like ours succeeds, and that's where we do become a threat out there, is if we do succeed, some of the states are really concerned, my experience has been, about losing their gas tax.
Oh, I see.
So if you have the everyday people driving electric vehicles, and even if we only made up 5% of the automobiles on the street or 10%, that's still 5 or 10% of gas tax they're going to lose.
Okay, I get it.
So if the big guys are putting their money into the $100,000 vehicles or the $80,000 vehicles, the everyday people aren't going to be able to purchase those. But if they put their money in our company, and we're making automobiles that are $10,000, $15,000,
$20,000,
right, and the everyday people can afford them, we're going to make a dent in transportation.
So which car do you drive?
I drive the Zebra. It's a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very versatile. All the sides fold down to make it a flatbed. It mm-hmm. dumps, and it's a pickup. My dog rides in the back. I pick up my bottled water in it, do my shopping, drive to work. I do everything in it. I personally do not own anything except this vehicle.
So what's your reaction? What's the reaction from people when they see you or talk to you about the vehicle, about the car, and then find out that it's electric?
My commute to work went from a drive to a ride because I have people that give me the high five. It's like I have a following of people that look for me and they wave like they know me.
Right.
Yeah,
hey.
They're really excited to see me. I still have people, I'll be at a stop sign and someone will come up and knock on the window that's on their motorcycle and scare me to death and go, how far does that go on a charge? How fast does it go? You know, how much money does it cost? There's sometimes people waiting at my vehicle when I come out of the grocery store.
Oh, I see.
To ask questions about it. It's an unusual looking automobile, so we find that a lot of companies like florists, sandwich delivery places, Domino Pizza's used them, El Pollo Local has used them. They get a lot of attention, so people are going to look at it if you wanted to put your signage on it for a business. And use it that way, too. But you will get a lot of attention, and it's a really fun way to get to work.
You talked about, at least there in Sonoma County, that there's a lot of interest in these kind of vehicles because the county itself has accepted solar as a way of living and alternative energy. And so does this kind of plug into that?
Absolutely, and it's going to be essential that there is a solar infrastructure to support electric transport. You know, there's a lot of talk about how if and when we are driving more electric vehicles, and we are making a dent in transportation as far as having a percent, you know, at least 5 or 10% of the population driving electric, that we are going to absolutely need a solar infrastructure to support it without causing any problems as far as, you know, mainstream electricity. And I don't know if you knew this, Richard, but when you do drive electric, PG&E does have a special meter that they will put on your house. It's called a time of use meter. It's an E9 meter, which the point is that they want you to only charge in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay.
When the rates are cheaper.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, now your everyday PG&E bill, they don't know what time you're charging, whether it's the middle of the night or the day. But right now what they're trying to do is regulate us so that if we do drive electric, so we aren't making a drain on the electricity use during the day, that we charge up in the middle of the night between midnight and 6 in the morning.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called an E9 meter, and you can see that at the PG&E website. But there's the proof positive that we really are going to need a pretty serious solar infrastructure to support this.
Okay. Well, listen, how have you seen the electric car business change since you started working with Zapp? What impact, if any, have you seen since more people are now going green or learning more about solar and electric cars? And what surprised you most about what you see happening out there?
Well, I think that what happened is a lot of people saw it as a way to make money first, so they really didn't understand even what they were selling, and that's unfortunate because we've had a great variation in the success of our dealers. The dealers that did it because they're going, this is the way of the future, and here's an opportunity to make money, especially with the economy, and it's been kind of waning in the car industry for the last few years.
Okay.
So they're looking at, hey, here's an opportunity to pick something else up. They didn't do as well as the people that really understood electric vehicles.
Okay.
Because driving electric vehicles is way different than gas vehicles. Like, for instance, my Zebra, the more I drive it, the further it goes on a charge. The faster it goes, the longer my batteries are going to last.
Interesting.
So where if you're used to driving a gas automobile, you would think that the less you drove it, you know, I mean, you still have to drive a gas vehicle sometimes to keep everything working right. But my point is that the batteries are like muscles. So they need to be exercised and they need to be fed. You can plug these in any place that you are, any time. You can drive 2 miles and plug it in, 10 miles and plug it in. I just plug in anywhere I possibly can. But my point is that I think as I'm talking to people now versus talking to people 5 years ago, they have a much better understanding of what they're selling, and they're going to be much more successful because they understand the importance of solar, the infrastructure, which they have to be supporting as well if they're going to be selling electric vehicles, because we need it to move right along with the cars.
Okay.
They understand what they're selling better now because there's more information out there for them. And
okay.
I just think that they're becoming more successful for a lot of reasons. Like, our Zebras are in the Kelley Blue Book, and they're in NADA. The credit unions will finance them just like any other automobile.
Oh, okay.
But this wasn't the case 5 years ago.
Okay.
So these... And Zapp is a pioneer. I mean, I watch this company do things that are amazing to me. Get the laws changed in different states so these vehicles, our vehicles and other vehicles that are electric, can be on the road. Educate the potential dealers that want to offer these vehicles. And even just getting somebody in them to drive them. And again, myself, and I explained to you that I was in a beautiful luxury gas automobile, and I didn't know if I could step out of that and drive the electric. And once I started driving it and I started not spending the money on the gas and seeing that it was...
Hey,
you know, and I was telling you before where I would think, you know what, I'm not going to go back because I forgot something to the store.
Right.
Now it's like, I'll go back because it's pennies.
Right.
It's about, we figure between 10 and 12 cents an hour to be plugged in someplace. It's about the same as running a refrigerator.
Wow.
The water agency uses our vehicles. The state capitol uses them. The city of Richmond uses them.
Okay.
You know, and this is this is going to be a big part of business for us.
Okay.
But as they step out and they do it, because they actually have funds set aside for green transportation, then the public will follow. But what you are doing and I am doing today is letting people know that there are vehicles on the road today that we can drive now. That's, you know, that's really important.
You touched on this, and I wanted to kind of, what products do you see coming down the coming down? All these metaphors of transportation and traveling. What new products do you see coming down the road as more people and companies go green? They're at Zap. What changes do you see happening in the transportation business in general?
Well, a couple things, and our company is the leader in electric transportation for sure, but they are also heavily involved in the infrastructure to support it. I see solar streetlights with the capability of charging the vehicles.
Okay.
I see the vehicles, which really were there now. I could charge my vehicle at my house, and then my vehicle should be able to charge my house. So really, you know, self-sufficient as far as having a whole infrastructure. There's new complexes and new housing developments that are completely green. I know of a big one in Florida that's going in called Destiny. Even they're going to have green collar workers that live there, green research and development center set up in the middle of the community. Street lights are going to be solar, chargeable, recharge, you know, you can recharge your car, and they are looking for green companies only for the whole community there. So I see this as a, you know, but this is something that's been done in China where these communities are, you know, their water's recycled, they have community gardens, they're completely solar and not connected at all to having to rely on grocery stores or utility companies or water agencies. They're completely